All right.
So this is it. We're starting.
Yeah, this is it. We're here.
We're here.
This is your idea. I just want to make it clear that I did not think this was a great idea from the beginning. I simply suggested, like, maybe we should record an episode, like you and me record something, like a little summer update, like 15 minutes long or something.
Yeah, I agree.
And then then you chimed in and you're like, no, let's do a rewatch, because has anyone even ever done this before on a podcast?
Totally. There are people that, like, their entire podcast is watching other podcasts.
No, that's other podcasts for one. Wait, other podcasts? I know there's TV show rewatches, but what about, like, podcasts?
Well, okay. Well, there is a, I only have one example, and it relates to Cavalry, so it's kind of biased. But that podcast, X Marks the Spot, that we have, there's a YouTube channel, and they watch other podcasts and, like, discuss it. They do exactly what we're doing, and they've done it with the X Marks the Spot one a couple times. Like, they listen for a minute, and then they pause and interject and stuff. And, like, of why would we do this with a different podcast? Of course we do this with this one, because we know all the, like, you know, insider information about it.
That's true. I did have another idea, though, an alternative, which was breaking down the Beyoncé Renaissance album and trying to figure out what the hell some of those lyrics mean. But
that was,
I guess this is a good idea.
I could have literally imagined 50 other things that you would have said that would never have made the top 50.
I just want to say I don't know what bruck up is bruck up is bruck up means. That's in there somewhere.
I have no idea. I also have not listened to that entire album, and actually got into an argument with one of my good friends a couple months ago, because he was saying that Beyoncé is the greatest artist, like, ever, essentially.
Oh, wow.
And I strongly disagreed with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to get into it with, I don't know how many of our listeners are really strong, huge Beyoncé fans, but I don't think I want to go down that road.
Okay, let's avoid that road. Okay, yes.
Okay, so this episode that we picked, you should talk about it, because you picked it out, and you remember it very vividly.
I do, because this episode, I was still living in Atlanta. I'm in Arizona now. So this was maybe a year ago, maybe not quite a year ago. But I remember it because we were, like, trying to find a time. We couldn't. And finally, we found a time. It was like 9 o'clock at night, my time, so Eastern time. So, and Oliver had gotten off of work and was very high. He had definitely smoked a lot of weed before this episode. And I think you and me were having, like, a cocktail. And this is the episode that after it finished, after they were like, okay, bye, love you, bye, we stayed on for like 30 minutes, the four of us, just shooting the shit, like, just talking. And you told me to, like, Joe kept trying to talk to my dog, so I put the headphone in my dog's ear, and like, you don't remember this?
No, why do I not remember anything?
It was so fun. This was like, at the end of it, Joe goes, okay, guys, I'm leaving this slumber party, because it literally felt like that. Like, it was so late at night. We had all had a few drinks and we were just hanging out. And it was one of my favorite moments. And the episode itself is pretty funny, because you can kind of tell, maybe you can't, but, like, Oliver's so giggly. Like, the whole episode, it's really funny.
Okay. All right, so should we hit play on this thing and get it?
Yeah, like, what's the signal? If I have something to say, should I just start talking and you'll hear me?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, this whole setup. Hang on, we have, like, we're trying to use Zoom for this, and I can see you, but you're smaller than I'd like. But I don't think there's anything I can do about it.
Oh wait, I think there is something I can do on my end. Look, I can do it. There's a little line next to the video, and you can, like, drag it and change the size. So now we're the same size as the video on my side.
What? Really?
Yeah, hold on. I'll take a picture and send it and text it to you.
Should have figured this out before we started.
All this technology. Josh, for anyone who's listening, which probably no one is at this point, Josh has been very concerned about the setup and the tech of this, which...
Well, no, it's just it's because I'm lazy and I don't want to have to do as much after we're done. Like when we...
That's fair,
once
too.
This is recorded, I don't want to go back through it because I don't like hearing myself.
Can I pay you a compliment to all the listeners for a second?
I suppose.
Okay. I would just like to point out that sometimes we don't record until like Wednesday at 5 p.m., and the recording is, what, 90 minutes when all is said and done, sometimes less. And then Josh still, you know, then Joe and Oliver are done. I'm make social media stuff, but essentially done. And Josh is the one who has to go through and then edit and make everything sound clean and beautiful and add the music and put everything together. And sometimes he's doing that like at, you know, very late at night so that we can get this episode out on Thursday. And you never fail to do it and do a very good job. And I would just
well,
like
thank
to say,
you. I appreciate that. Or there's times when, you know, there's edits that have to be made at 3 a.m. That only happened once, but it comes up a lot.
Yeah, that's true. I thought that was something funny to talk about because people don't know like how much or how little we cut out. And
right.
Compared to other shows that you work on, do you think you cut more out of this one or other ones?
No.
Other ones.
Very little gets cut out of this.
Yeah, that's true. That's Oliver's fault, but I agree with it. So
but,
I have another question.
Oh, okay.
So I know I suggested this, but so we're just going to watch together and then mm-hmm. talk and then pause and talk about it. That's like how this goes, right?
Yeah, that's what I was assuming.
Okay, I think so too. And if we, yeah.
Also, I just want to point out, it's not just Margot's fault if this goes horribly wrong. It is actually the listener's fault too, because you did put it out there. You asked people and they were like, yes, emphatically yes, that they wanted us to do this.
That's true.
So I take no responsibility for this if it's terrible.
You know what else? That's true. Don't blame Josh if this goes awful and horrible. But you know what else is, I realized as we were getting on, is this is Joe and Oliver's show. And technically, I mean, Joe voted in that little Instagram poll, but technically I wasn't like, hey guys, would you be okay with me and Josh taking over the podcast for a week or a couple of weeks? Like, I didn't even ask them. I just said, like, we're doing it, which now I'm wondering if that was a good idea. Maybe I
and
should,
you're the
like,
producer, so they're just like, permission. Yeah, well, I guess that's what it's what's happening then.
It feels like I may be the producer, but they're still the boss. Like
the top brass at Calvary is making us do this. No.
All right, let's.
All right,
let's wait. I've one more thing. I swear, it's the last thing.
Okay.
I know. I'm sorry. Should we tell people like anything about us? Like how? Like I know we've been on the show, but like we've known each other for a while.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how deep into that we need to really go. I mean,
okay.
Let's just say we've worked together before.
True.
And then now we work together here on this show. And, mm-hmm. But we've known each other. I've met you in person twice. That's it, I think.
Once. Yeah, you're right. Once at the last company.
Yeah.
And then at Sunset Tower with Joe.
Right.
That's it?
I think it's just been twice.
Oh my God, it feels like way more times.
And I met your dog Izzy too.
That's right.
That was actually who I saw first.
That's,
I didn't see you first. I saw the dog
true.
First.
That's who you hear gulping water in the background if you can hear that right now. Okay,
yep.
That's fine. I think you're right. That's fair backstory. Nobody actually cares about us, so true. Good point.
Okay. I don't know if anyone cares about any of this that we're doing today, but you know what? We'll try. We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. It could be good. I'm excited to watch
right.
This is one of my favorite episodes.
Oh, and real quick, before we start this, I also just realized we're going to be playing this. You're going to be hearing it as if you're on the Zoom call, basically, because this is Zoom audio. It's not the pristine good audio or whatever. I should say pristine. I don't even remember the audio that they ended up sending me and what is actually in the feed. But this is the video version that we're watching. So just so you know, don't yell at me about, you know, that sounds like Zoom. It is Zoom.
It is Zoom. But yeah. You do, I mean, no matter what they send you, you always make the audio sound pristine. Let's be honest here.
Yeah.
Come
okay.
on. Take the compliment.
I'm hitting start.
Okay.
Look at that. When they tap out, they know we're ready to go.
Oh, they tapped.
when Margo and Josh go to just their names and there's no picture in the screen, that means they think going.
I know. It's so true. I love that they.
Yeah.
They
I love how Oliver's not wearing a shirt.
Start. Like, oh,
he's very
on.
Comfortable
on
this podcast.
We're just talking
yeah,
about
clearly.
Beat Bobby Flay or whatever it's called.
Yeah. Beat Bobby Flay, which is on TV right now. I'm in my hotel room in Albuquerque. I just finished a job.
I can never hear Albuquerque without hearing Oliver say Albuquerque.
Look at that.
Like
he says Albuquerque.
He said like I don't know. He said it one time. I feel like Oliver's little sayings are always running in my head, driving me nuts. You can tell that Oliver's smoked some weed on this podcast.
The plaid shirts that are.
I'm allowed to say that.
That's true. Yeah. No, it does. Yeah, you can tell.
Maybe it's that company Untuck It.
Yeah, you know? Untuck It.
Untuck It, which is a great idea.
Right. But,
you know, that guy's probably making gajillions.
Didn't you just you vacation this summer in Untuck It?
But, yeah, big hurricane hit Untuck It.
Honestly, they could say anything. They could say nothing, and I would find it funny. It's just when they both are laughing, there's something like very contagious and like magical about it, I feel like. Even if I don't understand, because I know there's something in this episode that they were laughing so hard about. It's later on, and I totally didn't get it. I had no idea what they were talking about, but I was laughing because they're laughing, and they're just, when they laugh, they're so funny. Also, can I point out what's behind Joe? Do you see that?
Yes. Oh, my God. That's amazing.
I love that.
It's a picture of Oliver and Joe. Very nice picture. It's actually it looks like a comic strip of photos. Yeah. There's three of them.
It's our cover art. It's like the show's cover art pictures.
Oh, okay. I didn't make that connection before, but you're right, because they do like a caricature of that, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
Okay.
Okay.
Phil Collins.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Is starting his farewell tour.
Oh.
I mean, I was such a huge Phil Collins fan. I still am. I think I love everything the guy's ever done. Genesis.
I love Genesis.
The solo stuff. But he's so frail that he's now doing the entire quote unquote farewell tour seated with a cane.
Oh, well, you know what? Didn't he get divorced from his like 18th wife?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's, I
have
think
so
there's
got to
be some sort of reasoning behind it. He's like, okay, I got to go. I got to go.
I saw Elton John, too, by the way, a couple years ago, or right before the pandemic, and he also looked like
frail.
I don't know if you've ever heard this.
Definitely.
Story,
but there was a part of the concert, actually, where they had him on like a little, it looked like a motorized chair that he was like moving across the stage, but it wasn't supposed to be that. It just looked like it could have been that. It was supposed to be like a cool effect of him moving, like I forget exactly how it was, but it hit me funny though. It was like, oh, I don't think this looks the way they intended.
Because he's so old and frail, it looked like it was like one of those motorized chairs that go up the stairs or whatever.
Yeah, and they show the people on the commercials going to the Grand Canyon in those things. Can you imagine?
No, I would just not go to the Grand Canyon. I would like virtual reality it or something. I wouldn't go. Can I ask you, first of all, Elton John is somebody that I would love to see in concert. Big Elton John fan. Phil Collins, like, I know In the Air Tonight, which is what this episode is called, but like, are you a Phil Collins fan? Could you name me three Phil Collins songs?
No, I know his song, I Can't Dance with Genesis.
Okay. I know that song. That's true. So that's two Phil Collins songs. Can you name a third?
No, I don't know if I can.
I definitely cannot.
I don't like that I don't know any more Phil Collins songs, though. I really don't. I feel like I should. Anymore.
No, you shouldn't. No, I think that this... Look, they're a decade older than us.
I know more Beyonce songs than Phil Collins, and I'm not proud to say that.
I'm very proud of you for saying that. You absolutely should. That seems appropriate, for sure. She's way more our time.
Yeah, okay. Anyway.
Okay.
Song In the Air Tonight.
Yeah.
I got this on high authority.
Okay.
That Phil Collins was actually there and he saw somebody watching somebody drown. And that person didn't help him. or report it. And that is really insider information.
Wait a minute. But I thought he debunked this whole thing, though.
I don't believe that. But I heard that from a great source.
How could it be that great? Like, is it? Does he like? Does don't reveal your source? Does he know Phil Collins?
He's heard and that Phil actually was there. And he saw somebody watch somebody drowning, and that person didn't report it or help. And this was his payback song.
And then he wrote a song about it.
Right. And now he would have had to have helped. I mean, he could have helped, right?
Yeah.
If he was there and he saw the other guy, I saw what you did. If you told me you were drowning, I would not lend a hand.
Okay, I have questions.
Okay.
Okay. Are they kidding and they both know that they're kidding and I'm an idiot because I'm watching, like, I remember this and I'm watching and I'm like, whoa, is this actually true? Like, Joe got this from a good source. And then I was like, is he just actually saying lines from the song and making a joke about this? Like, and I still don't know the answer to this.
I don't know.
Oh, fuck.
I have no idea. But I want to say that not only that, but Phil Collins, if that's not bad enough, he had blue jeans sitting on the beach. Her dog's talking to me, but I'm going to edit this out. This lyrics from Genesis, I can't dance. And I can't make it. I can't make a good comparison.
That's okay, but that exactly what you were just doing is literally what I have wondered ever since this episode. Like, is Joe just saying, because, you know, he says, like, if you were drowning, I would lend a hand. I feel like those are lyrics, right?
Yeah, they are definitely lyrics, right? In the air tonight, yeah.
So is he just making this up based on the lyrics, or was this actually a thing? Did people think that Phil Collins didn't save somebody and then wrote a song about it?
I don't know. I would have to Google it. Can you look it up maybe? Try and look it up while we listen to this.
Because
we didn't see if there's any actual, like, you know, like, discussion about that.
Okay. I'm on.
But it sounds like this is an quote unquote inside good source of Joe. So
I know, but he's a good liar sometimes, or like storyteller.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. This could all just be a whole. This is probably all just a bit, and we have no idea.
I know.
The pandemic's made me stupid. I told her that. I told Margo this before we started recording, that the pandemic has made me a total moron.
No.
Like, things are just going right over my head.
No,
anyway.
No, that's not true. Okay, I'm looking it up.
Phil Collins is actually guilty by association for not, and I think it's.
Why does this make me laugh? Oh my god.
I think it's time that he get brought in on some sort of charges.
I think it's a bit.
It's gotta be a bit.
I just think it's fascinating, honestly, just to stop. That I don't care how old you are, where you grew up.
Right.
Everybody has heard that story. Yeah. You know what the story is behind In the Air Tonight. Phil Collins actually saw a guy who was watching a guy drown, and he wrote this. And I mean, everybody.
I know, but you have this on good authority.
No, I have another source that is totally verified that Phil was there.
What are you talking about? Wait a minute. So are you so confident of this? Like, do you?
I have started the early work on having charges brought against Phil Collins for not for not stepping in and helping the poor man who was drowned.
Hold on. Someone's at my door.
Pause it. I love this part where Oliver gets room service. But I just found something. Okay, ready?
Okay.
Okay. So it says, what really ensured the song's permanent place in the public imagination was the urban legend that began circulating sometime during the decade after it came out. There are numerous versions of the story, but the most popular one goes like this. Sometime before writing In the Air Tonight, Collins saw someone drowning. Either because he was inebriated or busy calling for help, he was unable to rescue the person. But from his vantage point, he saw that someone else could have saved the person, only they didn't, and the person in the water died. What Collins supposedly did next is, instead of calling the police, he learned the identity of the person who allowed the drowning to happen. Then he invited them to one of his concerts, gave them front row tickets, and while performing In the Air Tonight, shined a spotlight on the guilty person in front of thousands of people. And then it says, this is an incredible story, but unfortunately, it's not even remotely true.
Yeah.
Collins said, told the BBC, it's so frustrating because this is one song out of all the songs probably that I've ever written that I really don't know what it's about, you know? That's such a bummer.
Wow.
It would be way cooler if it actually was.
Well, like, I don't know if that had been way cooler. I mean,
well, that's
I don't know if I want that to be true. I'm not even a Phil Collins fan, but I still don't like.
That's true. I know, just I like how Joe says, I'm working on bringing early charges against.
I just don't want Phil this to Collins. Ruin I Can't Dance for me.
Because
it's the only song I can dance to.
Maybe the next time I'm in LA, we're all going to go dancing. That's what's going to come of this.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this short break with more Daddy Issues.
All right, let's see Oliver get room service.
Okay.
What is this? What is this?
It's my dessert.
You're not supposed to be eating dessert. You're supposed to be leaning out for your roll.
I don't know.
As Special Agent Garrett Miller.
Are you having sorbet?
No.
Ask that person if he's ever heard about Phil Collins being implicated in a drowning or death.
Oliver looks so happy about that dessert.
What is happening with you? Hey, I'm with you. There's nothing better than on being on the road in a hotel room getting dessert.
Oh, yeah. Two desserts. I got some sort of a mint thing, and then some, I don't know, man.
This is like your treat at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Look, see, Joe's drinking wine. Oliver's stoned. This is a fun
it's
one.
Hard being in a hotel room for so long. I just eating like shit. I'm drinking so much. And I don't know. Like, I've worked out one time. I ran 2 miles 2 days ago and pretty much almost died, you know? Ugh. I've got to get my life back on track.
How many times has Oliver said that?
Oh, I have a question. I have a question that I've been wondering about for a while. And I have no idea how weed works in your system. But because some people have like such a tolerance, like they can take the highest dose of edibles and still function, right?
But totally.
For other people like me, if I take any more than like 10 milligrams of an edible, I am completely out of commission, probably freaking out in the fetal position.
Me too.
You know, like I can't handle it. So my question is, I wonder if there's like, if there's a point where like you're not actually getting any higher, but like maybe it just stays in your system longer. Like your body can only process so much weed at a time.
That sounds reasonable to me.
Doesn't that sound like it might make sense?
This makes sense.
Totally fake science. I have no idea.
No, I think that makes sense. I actually don't know. I know that like I used to smoke weed a lot and I would need more and more.
Right.
Right. Like with any drug. And my brother-in-law loves pot. He's like a huge pot advocate. And it takes him a lot more, like he can smoke a lot more and function, whereas I will like go hide in a corner. Like I cannot be around people. I get very anxious and paranoid. So yeah, I think what you're saying is true.
So I just have a theory that like maybe your only process and like it's just your tolerance, the way you're responding to that amount.
Totally.
That makes you have to fall asleep or panic or whatever the thing is. But then once you're used to it enough, you know, like I wonder like the people that smoke weed every day all the time, like Snoop Dogg or something, like if he can ever get to the point where he has to pass out, like can he even get to that point?
Oh, probably. I don't know. Probably Snoop Dogg, if you're listening, which I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
Please let us know if you ever get to the point where you pass out of weed. I mean, wait, do you smoke weed? And are you willing to say that on the show?
No, I do. Uh-huh. I do. But not a ton. I mean, I do it like maybe once a week or so.
Yeah.
That's and I have to do it real sparingly. Like it's not, if I get too high, it's just, it's not good.
No, it's not. My sister has a theory that like anybody, no matter how good you are at smoking weed, the first 20 minutes of smoking weed for most people can be like a little like it's fun, but maybe you're like, I don't know. For me, I'm like self-conscious. So I like to be alone. But then if you get past that first 20 minutes, then you're like, fine. Then you're in the like clear.
Oh, but interesting.
I don't know. I actually bought weed legally for the first time ever a couple weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'd never done before. I never.
Well,
I mean,
if anybody's listening and they have like a really high tolerance for weed, let us know if you still can even get to the point where you have to pass out, or if you panic, or if you have any of the negative side effects anymore, or if you just kind of just, you just get really high and then that's it. I'm curious.
I wonder if we have any, excuse me, pot smoking listeners. I guess we probably do. I know Joe, if he's listening to this episode,
that
is
cough
loving.
Was perfectly timed.
I did that
on
purpose.
All right, let's get back to episode.
Let's do it.
My God, now you're working and you're not taking care of yourself.
Well, the anxiety got me all ripped and shredded because I was like so anxious. It just burned fat off. And now, you know, I feel good, but I'm eating again and drinking, you know.
Well, I would make that trade. As your very good friend, I would make the trade of you being fat and happy.
Yeah.
Then anxious and thin.
Totally.
I know. Do you think Phil Collins has anxiety?
Not anymore. He's hoping that people are, you know, filling arenas so he can pay off number 18.
Oh, that was a good laugh, man. Good laugh. Shit.
I was thinking about that all day. Like, I can't wait to bring this up with Oliver because I knew, even though we've never talked about it, that you knew all about that.
I did.
So the show's going well. We have a
show's going well. This is my longest stint away from home. It's been about 6 or 7 days. It's not so bad, but no, I'm having fun, man. I'm having fun. The lead girl, this girl Elodie, is really a really good actor and fun to work with, and it's great, dude.
It's funny that we had no idea what the show was at this point. Like we hadn't seen it.
Right. In love on set? That's true.
Yeah.
No. I don't fall victim to that, really, you know.
He asked him, are you falling in love on set? You know,
because
I talked over that,
sort of mashed together with these people for 3, 4, 5, 6 however many months, and you live in this bubble, and it's, you know, hard to maintain a relationship as two actors because you can get caught up in all the bullshit. You know, I think that growing up with it and in it, it took that allure sort of away.
Yeah.
You know, but it's intoxicating. You know what I mean? You're with each other and you're creating and, you know, you're emoting together and all the bullshit. And, you know, you get lost in it. That's why people fucking have affairs on movie sets all
the right time. I mean, true or false, and you don't have to answer this if it's awkward, but your mom fell in love with Billy Barbie from Foul Play.
Yeah. No one knows that.
But you're willing to say right now on our podcast, hoping to get clicks.
Yeah.
Your mom and Billy Barty, who played an encyclopedia and or Bible salesman in Foul Play, had a long running affair from beyond, not just on the set of Foul Play, but beyond.
Yeah. I mean, there's still questions of whether or not he's my father.
Right. Okay, good.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I asked them after this, like, do you think I should cut that part out though? Like, I don't know if we want to have, And they're like, no, no, don't worry about it.
I had no, like, I'm watching this and I was like, whoa, this is breaking news on our show right now. Like, this is going to be amazing. And had no fucking idea that they, like, come on, looking at their faces when they're talking about that, like, I don't know who Billy Barty is. I would have no idea. I totally thought it was true. Please tell me you did too. You thought that was true.
Yeah, I mean, I had to look up who he was and everything, and then...
Yeah, like, I had no idea. That's the thing. Sometimes they are so deadpan that it's...
We also might be two of the most gullible people on the planet.
That's also true. I will often believe most things that people
Nobody
tell
listening
me.
To this is probably thinking, like, oh, wow, I better... That's crazy.
Okay, but did you know who Billy Barty was?
No.
No. Right.
You didn't know either, though?
No. I'd never even heard that name. Not a clue. No idea. I mean, honestly, I didn't even know who, truthfully, and I've said this to Joe, so I feel like it's acceptable to say, I didn't know who Joe was before we started doing this show years ago.
I vaguely knew who he was.
I mean,
but like, it wasn't, I didn't really pay close attention or anything.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, I was
really know.
Like, basketball was really it. No baseball, no football. I wasn't like a huge sports person. I had no idea. And
yeah,
I don't know. I'm so glad that like this all came together because I think that both of them are great.
All right, back to the episode.
It's weird to talk about.
No, I know, but you know, actually, my mom met Kurt on a movie set. You know, so there you go, swing. Shift.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't know that.
That was, yeah, on Swing Shift. Well, Kurt actually met me before he met my mom, because my mom was dating this guy who was in the business. He wasn't an actor, and he played baseball, and they were in this softball league, I guess, and Kurt was there playing in this game, and my mom's boyfriend brought me to the softball game. And I was sort of this weird, awkward little five-year-old kid. And Kurt was like, who's that? You know, and his name was Jerry, this other dude. And he's like, oh, that's, yeah, it's Goldie.
Jerry Stiller.
Jerry Stiller, yeah. Jerry Stiller, R.I.P. And Kurt said, Jerry was like, yeah, this is, you know, it's Goldie's kid. And then Kurt said, hey, you know, come off this. I was sitting in the stands and he called me down and we had a catch. Because I had my glove. And so Kurt and I had a catch. This is before he even met my mom on Swing Shift. And then months later.
Have you seen Swing Shift?
With my mom. And,
nope.
And that's
neither.
That.
Never even heard
and
of it.
And then the next thing you know, he's walking around naked in your house.
Yeah, exactly.
He's just like, wow, is that the guy to play catch with? Hey there, sport. How you doing? Wow, Snake Plissken.
He used me.
He used you to get to Goldie Hawn.
Yeah, it worked.
Also known as your mom. You know what's weird is the use of kids as props and or pawns. Not that that even remotely describes what happened in the story you just
Who's
told.
Snake Plissken.
But when my dad...
Snake Plissken is the character from, what is it, Escape from L.A.? Or something. It's like a movie. I haven't seen the movie, but I remember I had to look it up because the funny part about Snake Plissken is he looks very much like Captain Ron, which is my favorite movie ever.
I love that movie.
He's got like he's got the eye patch and Kurt Russell has the eye patch and everything. Yeah. But like it's his character from both films Escape from New York and Escape from L.A.
God, I've never seen either of those. Snake Plissken. Oh, okay. I do remember this part. This is a part that we can listen to, but also I feel like we're going to have very little commentary because this is about kids and neither of us have kids. We've been kids.
I know,
kids.
Isn't that funny? We're
no
you know,
kids.
Involved with the show and
I know.
We don't have children.
I know. I know Joe and Oliver have asked you this, and this is something I definitely want to ask you before this whole situation ends is about, I'm not going to ask you right now, but they've asked you if you're planning to have kids or if you want to have kids. Your answer is you don't know. Is that right?
Or that is
no,
correct.
Or it's you don't know.
Either one.
Okay. All right.
What about you?
No, I do not want. I will. I'm not going to.
Really? You think you know, like, that's going to be, that's your...
100%.
Wow.
It's
okay.
A no. It's a strong no. Yeah.
Okay. Just, nothing wrong with that. I was just curious.
Yeah, no. I mean, like, I think if I ever did, I would adopt. But just, no. I actually can't say it because I think it will be, our listeners won't like it. But, like, just the whole idea has never appealed to me of, like, being pregnant and having children. And it just, ugh, no. And I was a teacher. I love kids. I just don't
That's
want them.
Right.
Yeah. I just don't want them, like, coming out of my body and living in my home. So.
Right. I get it. Okay. Got it.
So, yeah.
So on this podcast, when my dad, the whole reason why my book is called Lucky Bastard, my dad meets my mom in 1968. And in 1969, I pop into the world. My mom and dad get married prior to me popping into the world, but not prior to me popping into my mom.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But just that phrase popping in your mom doesn't sound good.
Well, I mean, as an embryo, as a baby, as a little baby.
I'm just, does your mom listen to this show?
God, no. My mom, I wish to God my mom could text. She's 83, even though she admits to being 81. Again, she doesn't listen. But if she could text, it would just free up so much more time in my life. But she will call.
Yeah.
Talk. She'll have another thought. She'll call back. And she doesn't really realize that if I don't pick up, I still know she called because of the caller ID.
Right.
And so it's just call, 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 call. I pick up. Yes. What? Are you okay? I'm fine. I just had another thought of, oh my, then I'm already lined up to get frustrated and mad, which I know surprises you. And she's, it's unbelievable. It's just over and over. And then we'll talk about something serious and she'll have another thought. And then she calls me back. Anyway, that's not the point of this. The point of what I was saying was how kids are used in divorce and or second marriages. Like when I was a little kid, I went with my dad multiple times to drop off the alimony check at my dad's ex-wife's house. I don't believe we've talked about this. If we have, then I beg everybody's forgiveness.
We have not.
So I was 3, 4, 5, 6 years old going with my dad to the home of my dad's ex-wife and his 6 kids. And he is bringing kryptonite to the party, that being me, because I was the impetus for the whole switcheroo. And now I'm walking into this house and I'm not old enough to understand the entirety of the picture, but I am old enough to understand that I'm walking into a place where I'm not welcome.
Did you know any of this? He hasn't talked about this before, has he?
I don't think he talked about it. I'm not sure he talked about it before this episode.
That's
but this
true.
Episode is already, how many months old is this episode now?
Almost a year. I think
almost a year.
Yeah. November, maybe. There is a lot. This is like a very long story. You can cut this out, by the way, but this is a very long story. And maybe we can like commercial break and come back to a different part in the episode. Cause I feel like he talks about this parents using kids thing for a long time. And I have very little to say about it.
All right. We're going to pause it right here. We're actually going to skip to a later part in the episode. But first, let's take a break. We'll be right back after this.
If you're enjoying this episode of Daddy Issues, don't keep it to yourself. Please share the love and tell a friend about Daddy Issues and go subscribe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's
we beg
right.
you.
Stay tuned. You don't want to miss what's coming up right after the break.
Okay, so should we pick up with the episode, like, I don't know, 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later than that or something.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to keep people on here for like four hours. So,
and you can always go back and listen to the episode. It's called In the Air Tonight. And they get into a lot of more discussion about Joe's dad. And
yes, that's true. You
can hear more of that. But we're going to skip to a little bit later on to this part.
For a cookie company.
Yeah, this is where Oliver says that his dad like reached out and wants to meet up because his dad's in Santa Fe, going to be in Santa Fe, and Oliver's in Albuquerque. And his dad's like, yeah, I have a, like an idea or something. So he said something like that, that he wants to discuss. And then Joe's like, I have an idea for a cookie company, which is fun, which is like, I think it's interesting to hear how like Oliver and his dad are kind of like, they talk, but they don't, but they never met up. Remember?
Right.
They never
I know. That's, have they met up since? I can't remember.
I don't think so. Now, I love Oliver a lot, but Oliver can be a little bit of a flake sometimes because this that he's talking about when his dad was in Santa Fe, I was in Albuquerque the next night and I texted him. I'm like, hot. Like I was driving to Arizona. I was like, I'm in Albuquerque. Let me buy you a drink. Like, where's, I'm right by your hotel. I'm like a mile away from your hotel. Nothing. And the next day he was like, sorry. I was like, okay. I mean, fair. Oliver's like a very famous, busy actor. Doesn't necessarily need to meet up. But
right
earlier he was like, yeah. Text me. We'll get a drink. So,
right.
But also it sounds like Oliver's dad can also be similarly. Oliver, I love you if you're listening to this, which he definitely is not listening to this.
What? Everybody's going to be so shocked to hear that.
Yeah, Oliver never listens to these.
I know. All right, let's see where this goes.
Somebody else, and they have to go sell 14 to the next person, and then you make money on.
Oh my God. I'm like, Dad, come on. I'm very excited to hear what he has to say. I mean, I don't know what this idea is going to be.
Can you secretly record this meeting?
Yeah.
Wait, what's that, Dad? Can you talk a little louder? I can't. What's wrong with you, Oliver? Don't worry about it. Just, I can't. I'm having a little tough time. I got water in my ear. Just talk louder.
I mean, I'm excited. I'm excited to see him and hang out and do something. You know, I mean, we'll see.
What if you just end up doing peyote and walking out into the desert?
That'd be incredible. I mean, imagine if I'm in the New Mexican desert with my dad, like smoking peyote and just.
Is that what you do to peyote? You smoke that?
Yeah.
Look at you. Look at me. I don't know anything. And you're
I've never smoked peyote, but I know that you smoke it.
What do you do for ayahuasca? Do you drink that?
Do you put an H in front of it?
What is it?
Ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca? Is that what you
that's like a tea.
Oh, you drink
tea. Yeah. Oh. Okay.
You drink it.
That seems pleasant.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Until you're looking at a dragon coming. Khaleesi. Khaleesi.
You and I should do a very special episode of Daddy Issues and do ayahuasca and just.
That'd be such a great final day of my career. I would love that.
Yeah, I don't think ESPN would be too happy with that idea.
Probably not. But I think that would be amazing. I would love to see it. I honestly would love to see them do or go anywhere. Like, that's why I thought, like, a live... I don't know. It would be so fun to just... You want to know one of the best videos that we've posted anywhere is, like, when they go... I don't know where they are. They're somewhere, and they're, like, in a parking lot holding hands and skipping through the parking lot. And they had, Michelle or Aaron take a video. Yeah. And, like the video when they're in Cabo with Aaron and Michelle, and, like, Michelle sends her drink back. And, you know, one of them was filming the whole, I think Joe was filming the whole time. Like, videos like that of seeing them, like, in life, like, together. It's so cool. It'd be so neat to see them do something like that. I mean, I know Joe's never going to like go on a peyote trip in the desert.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think that's going to happen.
But
no,
it would be pretty amazing to see that.
Yeah, it would be. It would be a funny idea.
Like, we've known Joe and Oliver for years now. I've actually never met Oliver in person. I've been to his house, but he was not there. But I've been to his house, and then I've now met Joe a couple times in person. But we've known them and talked to them, I don't know, not every day, but our group text is pretty amazing.
Active.
It's pretty active and amazing, honestly. It's one of my favorite things.
Sometimes really uncomfortable, though. I will admit, I just am really uncomfortable watching some of those messages. I'm just like, I'm trying to have the day at Disneyland. And Disneyland. And I'm like getting all these texts that were just like, it was like, almost seemed like it could have been like an argument or something, but I wasn't sure.
Between Joe and Oliver?
Yeah, like this, like stuff happens and I'm like, are they joking? Or it's just like that in the air tonight thing.
Totally. You can't tell.
But it's like more personal and it's like, I don't know what's happening.
Oh, that's the other day we had one. We had a conversation that involved, I'm not going to even say it, but it involved some things. And I was like, ooh, this is.
I know it seems so bad. Like I see it's like, oh God, he said that. And then like, but then like later they're just fine. Like everything's fine.
Totally fine.
So it's like, okay, I'm reading too much into something. Yeah. But
no, they do have like a very great friendship.
All right. So we're going to go back to the episode. Do you know whereabouts we're at? How many? Question for you though. How many times have you listened to this episode? Good Lord. You know everything about like every single point of this.
I've listened to this episode. I have like 5 Daddy Issues episodes that are my favorites, and this is 100% top 2 for sure.
I think you're the biggest fan of Daddy Issues.
That sounds so conceited and terrible. Actually, you want to know what? I would say if I was producing any other show and you said that, I'd be like, yeah, that sounds conceited. But this show, it's honestly, it's all them.
Yeah.
It's the best show. It's so easy. I've listened to this episode a lot. It's one of my favorites. I think we're about to get into the Mandela effect stuff, which one of our listeners sent us, actually.
Oh, yeah. That stuff creeps me out, actually.
It's super weird.
It really does. It's super weird. All right. Let's check it out.
Okay.
Come on.
Yeah. So Margo, eat your shit. It's making me uncomfortable.
It's all right. I'm having a good time.
You're having a nice time.
Well, you know, it's always like I worked all day and you come back, I'm at the hotel, I'm like, oh, I gotta do the fucking podcast. But the minute we get on, I say it every fucking time, but I enjoy it.
So Margo sent us these.
Put together some
questions. And I think they're so good.
Yeah, they are good. I have.
Oh no, these are listener questions.
I haven't read these. I read like the top 3, and the top 3 had
me hooked. They're all really good.
Good.
They really are.
Margo's like, yes.
So here's one from an anonymous message on Twitter. I genuinely want to know their stance on this topic. Pornography use a husband and father. Margo, what is this?
Margo, what is it?
Yeah, as a husband, like, what do you think about a husband and a father watching porn?
Okay. So an anonymous message on Twitter. I genuinely want to know their stance on this topic. Pornography use as a husband and a father. Do they think it's okay? My wife is not really okay with it and views it as a form of cheating. It is something I've struggled with.
And just to be clear, we're talking about watching porn, not starring in it, right?
Thank you
it's
for that
important distinction we didn't make in the episode, but anyway.
Really be interested in hearing what the guys think and what their stance is. Take it, Joe, because I have thoughts.
I don't know that of all the weird bullshit you and I have talked about over the years, I don't know that we've ever even talked about this.
No, we haven't.
And so it's a great question. I think it's fine. And I think when the question is, my wife is not really okay with it and views it as a form of cheating.
That seems crazy to me.
My gut reaction to that is cheating is cheating. And when I was in a previous life, the one thing I wouldn't do because of everything I said at the beginning of this podcast about, you know, going to somebody else's house and being as a little kid in this, and I am the result of this, you know, this thing that happened between two people, that was the one thing I wouldn't do, is I wouldn't cheat. So I think cheating is cheating. I think pornography, using it, is not that big of a deal. I really don't. And I, you know, as an adult, and I was listening to Stern today, and there was a woman called in that said that her 12-year-old is like on Pornhub.com or whatever it is. And now that's a different thing. And it was great to hear, because the woman said that she told her son exactly what you said on this podcast, Oliver, which was, that's not real life. That's not how men treat women. That's not how men should treat women. That's not, this is not a real interaction. This is acting. This is for
entertainment.
Yeah. This is for quote unquote entertainment. So I thought she had really good thoughts on it, but I do not personally see that as a form of cheating. And I would much rather somebody use that if they're away or it's been a while, than actually going and cheating.
Totally.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I couldn't agree more.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, yeah, please definitely. Tell me your opinion on this, because I cannot say how much I agree with Joe on that.
I mean, I absolutely agree with Joe on that. I mean,
100%.
It's not the same thing at all.
Not cheating at, I just, and I'll, actually, I'm sorry, I interrupted probably too soon, because Oliver says something that is, I think, accurate, that like if it becomes an addiction, like you're watching it all the time, like you cannot have sex without watching porn, then like maybe there's an issue there, but that's still not cheating,
right? That's a different issue. That's an issue with addiction. That's an issue with something that would, you know, get in the way of your relationship, which could be anything.
You know, I agree.
Anyway,
yeah
there's healthy pornography, meaning you know, every now and then you're getting a little, you put on some, and you go, and you go, squirt, 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 and you go, quick, quick, squirt, 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 and then you're done. But if you could become dependent on it, because pornography can be addicting. There is addiction to pornography. That's a real thing, where you just can't stop and you fall into a hole. What happens is you become desensitized, meaning you start off with a little bit of, you know, erotica. And before you know it, you know, you're watching movies or clips that are horrific, because you're just, you need more to get off. You know, then it can become a problem. But I would never say that it's cheating in any way whatsoever, you know. But I would say for this anonymous person to evaluate your love life, your sex life with your wife, you know, do you feel like you need to watch porn? Do you need to get off with pornography because, you know, you don't have a solid intimate relationship? You know, I'd ask these questions. These are the surrounding questions.
And the follow-up to that is, why does it bother you so much to the wife?
Right.
Is this really a form of cheating in your mind? And if so, you know, then changes have to be made, and there has to be, a dialogue and a conversation about it. But yeah, I don't.
Yeah. And then just say to her, oh, you want to see cheating, and then go off and then cheat and then say, and then be like, see, would you rather me just
see,
watch
no, it? Don't do that. No, no, that's bad advice. Okay. That's
let's move
bad.
On to the next question.
When are you guys going to come out with your own alcoholic beverage? Who asked that? Our business manager?
I think that's Margot's question.
Yeah. I would love to. I mean, I just don't know what goes into that. Troy's coming
what
out with
alcoholic
a beer.
What alcoholic beverage
which
would
I'm
you
very
think they should make?
Do I think they could make?
Yeah, like what would be the question. Appropriate daddy issues alcoholic beverage?
I really don't know. I'm a bad like judge of these things, because like I just know what drinks I like, and then I don't know.
What drinks do you like?
I mean, I feel like it, but the drinks I like, I feel like fit the brand pretty well. Like old fashions, like are
totally
perfect for that, right?
I agree.
So I would think like a bourbon or a whiskey or something.
Okay,
that's what I love the most. But that's why I'm biased. I'm coming from my own point of like that's what I like the most.
But what are you drinking
and obviously
right
seltzers?
Yeah, I was gonna say, what are you drinking right now?
Oh my god,
right
that's
now?
What it should be. It should be like a, you know, a seltzer on the beach.
Yeah.
Bartles and James. Isn't that what they talked about?
Yes. They've talked about that so many times, and I have to be completely honest. What is Bartles and James?
Oh, I had to look it up but I've never forgotten it since they gave me so much shit about it, and I thought about it. But it's basically what White Claw was, but like in the 90s.
Oh, it's like a 90s seltzer.
Kind of, yeah, but it's I'd have to look it up again because I don't remember specifics, but like it's something like just a spiked seltzer.
Wow, I never knew that. I've heard them talk about it so many times, and I've had no idea.
Yeah.
Not a clue.
Yeah. So okay. That's what I imagine, like, what, 20, 30 years from now, we're going to be calling whatever the drinks are around then, White Claws. Like, we're just going to be like, right. Oh, White Claw. We're going to sound like them saying Bartles and James.
Yes, that's right. Okay, but wait, can you tell the listeners what you're drinking right now? Because we're both having a drink.
I'm actually drinking a Truly.
Truly?
Yeah, it's a hard seltzer. It's just a different... I think they actually taste better than White Claws, but it's so funny, though, because if I haven't had a ton to eat in the day, like, one of these will really get me feeling it.
What's the alcohol content on that?
It's not much, 5%.
So is that like a glass of wine, essentially?
I don't know. I'm not like a scientist.
Well, you were a little bit earlier with the pot conversation. I mean, geez.
No, I was saying that's fake science. I just, that's like the logic of my brain wants to think that's how it works. But I don't know how it works.
I think you're spot on.
I have my own logic for things that.
I like it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's true. I'm drinking a vodka seltzer water lemon.
Ooh, what kind of seltzer water is it?
Kroger.
Oh, it's okay. Because I make the same thing. We make the same drinks, but with LaCroix.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and flavored LaCroix.
Yeah, flavored LaCroix, yeah. And
what's the best
vodka.
LaCroix?
I like, so between, for me, it's lime and limoncello. Limoncello is probably my favorite, but lime is also really good.
I've never had limoncello. I like the pamplemousse.
Oh, okay. No, the limoncello, though, is like, it's really good.
Okay, I'm going to try that. You want to know what, though? One more thing before you press play.
Uh-huh.
Do you adhere to the fact that it's not LaCroix, it's LaCroix?
Oh, my God. No. But my brother-in-law calls it LaCroix. So that's all I think about. It's LaCroix.
Okay. I'm going to call it that from now on.
Yeah, I know. He always says LaCroix, and that's how he's kind of stuck.
I like it.
I'm about.
Oh, cool.
We
need to do it. We could do a drink. That would be fun. You know, I think we'd have to do something off brand. Everyone's doing tequila. Everyone's doing vodka. You know, we need to do like organic wine. You know what I mean?
No.
Okay, fine. How about like rum?
I had a bad experience with rum in college. I've never had rum since.
Really?
Never. I hate the taste of rum. I hate the smell of rum. I hate the, unless it's buried in some drink right. that has 48 mixers in it.
Have you ever been on a rum springa?
No. What's a rum springa?
I had a bad rum a springa breaka.
Please.
And
I'm sorry to interrupt so quickly, but please tell me what it is.
It's like
is it like a Mormon thing?
Do you have words? Wait, do you have words that you know like what the meaning is, but you can't for the life of you define it?
Totally.
That's kind of what it feels like for me. It's one of them. It's like when you're younger and you have to and you go through like in your adolescence, you experience something that
puts you into adulthood.
It's an experience in your adolescence that puts you advances you somehow. I think it's called a rum springa.
Are you looking it up right now?
I am looking it up right now.
I thought it was a Mormon thing, like when you're Mormon.
A rite of passage.
Oh, a rite of passage. Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. That's kind of what I thought it was, but I thought it was more specific to Mormons or Amish.
Yeah. All right.
Springer. Okay, I'm ready.
When was the last time you crapped your pants, if ever? And how often does this happen? This is from, I don't know. Some guy, some person. Crap. I mean, you know, it happens. I've done it. I had one time, I was Rules of Engagement, I was doing the sitcom, and I was driving to work, and I just decided, I'm going to fart, whatever. Boom. Not good. And I have to get to work, take my underwear off, try to be discreet about it, throw it in the trash, and then sort of ask them for new underwear. And they're like the costume girls, who are still my really good friends, actually. And they're like, why do you need underwear? Did you not wear underwear? I'm like, no, I just need some underwear. And like, okay, but why do you need underwear? And finally, I just had to tell them, like, all right, I shit my pants. All right, I shit my pants in the car. All right. I thought it was going to be a little something. And it went.
And
it
here went. They are. You're so nosy. You can have them.
Ugh, I hate it. I hate the poop conversation.
I don't really like it either. I think we could skip this.
I really don't love it.
I'm
like,
not into it.
It's funny for some people, but like, I really dislike poop conversation. Like, I like how Oliver was like, okay, I shit my pants. Like, he's funny about it, but like, at the same time, ugh, gross. No,
I know. Wait, didn't you give them this question?
Somebody asked, when's the last time you shit your pants? So, I mean, I didn't come up with it. It's a listener question.
No, I know, but you're still like, you invited this conversation into
I did.
Into our ears.
Because I knew they would like run with it. Of course they both had a story, but if somebody asked you, when's the last time you shit your pants, would you have a story about it? No.
I'd want to share.
Yeah, exactly. And I genuinely don't, but even if I did, I would still say no. I don't know.
The time I was shitting my pants is a very dark time in my life. It was when I was eating dairy. I had a dairy addiction, and it was very severe.
I feel like we need to have a whole new episode on this.
No, I never had a dairy addiction, but I did eat dairy before, and it was not good for me.
You not eat dairy now?
No, I'm vegan. I don't eat dairy or eat meat or...
Don't?
No.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Wow. I did not know that. You know that I didn't eat red meat or pork for 15 years, and then I moved to Tucson back near my family, and now I eat literally everything. Pork.
Oh, wow.
Like, I just ate chicken and fish, and that was it. Just more because pigs are smart. It made me sad. And then I've now around my Italian family, and it's like, oh, you're eating everything, or you're not invited to Sunday dinner, kind of.
Oh, damn.
Yikes. Wow, I didn't know that you were a vegan. Is that your choice or Vanessa?
Vanessa's mostly vegetarian.
Really?
She will sometimes, you know, she doesn't draw as hard of a line about it as I do, but I'm pretty strict about it after, it's been like 10 years.
For health reasons or for...
Health reasons and just not wanting to, personal preference and health reasons. Like it saved me a lot from politely declining from eating something that I thought was gross.
Oh,
like,
wow.
You know, at least I have a good excuse.
That's an interesting, I've literally never thought of it like that you could decline eating things in situations because you're vegan.
Yeah, it's like not, and no, but I don't feel like people should take offense to it because it's like, oh no, I don't eat anything like that.
Right. You're not, you know, saying like, I'm not going to eat
yours.
This. Right.
Right. It's not this dish. It's like anything that just has that in it, any meat in it, any dairy in it, I pass.
Wow.
And there have been multiple times where I've seen something, we'd be, you know, at a place or at an event or something, and they have food, and I'll be looking at it going like, I'm so happy I'm vegan so I don't have to eat that shit.
Wow, that's so interesting. I never knew that. Do you think that it makes you healthier overall?
I don't know. I mean, it probably not because I drink too much.
Well, me too. Don't we all? That's
funny. So yeah, you know, there's always, I don't know if I'm healthier in the end, but at least I feel
vegan.
Better about it.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this short break with more Daddy Issues.
All right, so I skipped ahead quite a ways in the episode just for the interest of time because it's already getting kind of late. So let's see where that takes us.
The source is Google. thought you may also enjoy this, meaning you misremember to use.
This is it. This is it. This is the this is the conversation about the Mandela effect. Yep. So let me back up a little bit because I jumped ahead.
I've never even heard of that.
No, you got to just.
I live in St. Louis. Do you understand that?
I know. Straight celery juice on an empty stomach, though, right in the morning. And you're gonna just diarrhea everywhere. You're gonna love it.
And it's night and night. Did you read the second part and then we'll go?
Okay. Did I read what?
The Mandela effect from listener Angie. In the latest episode, Joe states the saying is if you build it, he will come. Oh. He is correct per the producers. The source is Google. Thought you may also enjoy this, meaning you misremember to use Andy Pettit's lingo.
Right.
Something that you would swear on your life.
Yeah.
That you heard it one way and it's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Does that make sense? Like,
yes, it does.
You heard it like everybody forever. It's if you build it, they will come.
Yes.
But it's if you build it, he will come. I didn't remember that correctly. And I had to look it up because we were doing that game in the cornfield in Iowa. It's an unusual phenomenon when a large group of people remember something completely different than how it occurred or never existed. Here's a few. Is C-3PO all gold?
Oh,
I have no idea.
No, but I knew this before, I feel like. So
you did? Like you knew this one?
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah. His leg, his like left or right leg is silver.
Couldn't.
No, but I would say no, but I feel like no, because it looked like he kind of had worn off a little bit. Like his gold had.
Old, meaning, I don't know. I feel like there's some black something. I don't know. He's not.
His eyes are red, aren't they?
No.
Or like a different color.
No, they're like yellow, I think.
Like blue or something? Green?
Oh, he said.
I think they're like white. Like white,
light. No, yeah, you're right. You're right. But I feel like his body, C-3PO,
mm-hmm.
not R2-D2, C-3PO looked like some of the gold had worn off and he was like kind of silver.
I'm going to look that one up.
Then he had wires and
look
stuff.
Look that one up, Oliver.
I looked up a picture of him, by the way. His eyes are, they are, I guess, white, but they look like a very yellowish white. So
white. Okay.
It's a very warm white tone.
Is it?
Hue.
Life is like a box of chocolates.
Yes.
That's what I've always thought.
Me too.
Obviously, it isn't, or it wouldn't be on here.
Right. Well, what is it? Margo.
Margo's having a conniption fit. Is that even a real thing?
I don't know. What is conniption anyway?
But have you heard that?
Of course. But like, what is a conniption fit? Like a.
Such a good question.
Actually, he said, life was like a box of chocolates.
I just don't believe that.
Oh, it was the whole time?
No.
Is?
Yes. Life was like a box. Life was like
Well, I mean, it's easy to check. You just go to the movie and see what the.
I know, and I never did, but I should because I just don't buy it.
Do you remember Hannibal saying, hello, Clarice?
I can help you catch him, Clarice.
Hello.
But everybody says that. Hello, Clarice.
Hello, Clarice.
Oh, the crazy one. Did they talk about the one, Luke, I am your father or something?
No, they don't talk about that one.
Because
what
that
is
one's
that one?
Not really. He doesn't say, Luke, I am your father. He says, like, the quote is like, I am your father, but he doesn't say Luke.
Really?
Yeah, I'm actually going to look that one up because that's one I definitely thought of too. But
anyway, that's what everyone
says.
Luke, I am your father.
Right.
I mean, what is it?
Clearly he doesn't say it or wouldn't be on here. I don't know. Like,
bitch,
what did Migs say to you? He said he could smell my coat.
Oh, Darth Vader says, no, I am your father.
No.
That's what he says.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway.
See, but like.
Did she write a note?
No, I don't, I'm not. We don't know what's scarier. The fact that we remember Hannibal Lecter saying, hello, Clarice, or the reality that all I said was good morning.
No.
Good morning.
No, he's not. That's like, what he said. I find that so hard to believe.
I know. It's crazy.
Do you remember when Hannibal said, top of the morning to you?
Top of the morning to you. What do you mean he's into? He said Clarice. There's no doubt about it. I mean,
good morning.
He didn't just say good morning. Maybe he said good morning, Clarice.
These ones are good.
Hey, I'm just going with what's being supplied.
Was Sinbad a genie in a movie called Shazam?
Well, okay, this one's not good.
Who cares?
Yeah, I'm passing on that one. Does the Monopoly man have a monocle? Hell yeah, he's got a monocle.
Yes, he does. But he doesn't.
Is somebody going to tell me he doesn't have a monocle?
What the fuck? Of course he does.
Of course he does.
Or is it? Oh, it's a magnifying glass, maybe.
Oh, look at you, Mr. I Wanted Family Feud.
No, there's no monocle. There.
Do you remember or magnifying glass. Stovetop? Hold on.
Wait, can we see? Can you hold it up to the camera?
Yeah. Yeah, so what I found was a post about the Mandela Effect where they drew in with the what they... what people think it is. So there's the one on the, there's the two.
Oh my God. But I totally remember it. The one with the thing on his eye.
Right. But no, there is no thing. This one is easily explained though, because I feel like it gets confused with the Pringles guy.
Mr. Peanut.
People get it confused with like all different things. So that doesn't surprise me too much. The one that I think is crazy, and I don't know if they talk about it in this episode, is the Fruit of the Loom one.
The cornucopia.
I think they do.
Yeah,
That's what blows my mind the most out of any of it, because
I totally
picture
a cornucopia on like Fruit of the Loom underwear.
Right.
I can see it in my brain.
So do I. And if you look it up, there's like a, and I know you're just looking up people posting online, but there's a ton of people that post that that's how they learned what a cornucopia was. So like, it's crazy to think that if that's how you found out what a cornucopia was, to like ask your parents about it or something, and then you find out later that it was never there. It
didn't even exist. But like,
that's
got to
really make you crazy.
Okay, we're going to keep playing this in a second. Don't get annoyed, listeners. But like, why does this exist? That people remember things differently than they actually, like you and I both, we are similar in age.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not, but we both remember a cornucopia with Fruit of the Loom underwear. So why? Like why?
I'm going to say
why one more time because I don't understand.
Why? I know.
Why? Why do we remember it differently?
The crazy thing is, I did look up, because I went on a real rabbit hole search about Fruit of the Loom, because that really bothered me. Like, totally separate from this episode, I was looking into it. And I found out that apparently there was in the patent for Fruit of the Loom, there is an image with the cornucopia, but it was never used publicly.
So, but how do any of us, like, associate
that's
that?
That's the crazy part, and that's where if you're a real conspiracy nut or something, you would think, like, oh, well, we forked off into another dimension, and now, you know, like, we all remember things that weren't really there in this dimension, but were there in the other one.
Okay, so I'm saying why 1,000 times like an idiot, but really what people believe the Mandela effect is that we are in a, like, these are parallel universes.
Yeah.
And in one universe, the Monopoly man had a monocle. And in the other one, he didn't. And we're just somehow, like, kind of, like, cross-pollinating into a different universe. Right?
Yes.
I have trouble wrapping my brain around that, I'll be honest.
I know. And people point at the Large Hadron Collider for the reason for it. Because that started in, like, 2012 or 2013. And that's kind of... The creepy part is that's when it feels like reality really went off the rails, was starting around then, right?
No, so, I have no idea what you're talking about. You have to say this again.
Oh, God. CERN has the Large Hadron Collider where they're like mashing together particles at crazy speeds to like try and create miniature black holes or something. Like, it's crazy.
When was this?
And they started doing it like 2013.
Where was I when this was happening? I feel embarrassed.
Probably in another universe somewhere. I don't know.
Maybe it was in a parallel universe.
Yeah, you were in the parallel universe that had the cornucopia in it. That's where you were.
Okay.
No, I don't know. I mean, I kind of like, this is all just things, again, that I think up in my head that are absolutely bonkers crazy. I know that. But like, it's also kind of like, you start to look for the evidence supporting.
But what's the other explanation?
Craziness.
Yeah, but what's the other explanation? Like, why do both of us remember that? I didn't know you growing up.
The other explanation is that you always see a cornucopia with fruit like that, like a fruit basket. We all know it so well that we just kind of projected it there. And that, like, it never was there.
Fruit of the loom with a cornucopia of fruit?
Right.
Naturally?
So like, it's kind of like we know what that looks like, a cornucopia with fruit. And so we'd all just kind of assumed that the cornucopia was there.
That seems weird to me. Okay, wait.
Or wait, the cornucopia involves the fruit, right? So I'm actually talking about the horn thing.
Yes, the horn. Okay, wait. Let's hear the rest of these because these are good. Right. I'm interested to see if you think that these exist.
Okay, yeah.
Or more like the fact that he doesn't have one. This, as some suggest, might be a simple confusion between him and the Planters Peanut Company's
mascot.
Yeah,
this is what I'm talking about.
Peanut.
It's collective confusion.
Okay.
Mr. Peanut definitely has a monocle.
Totally.
Do you remember Stouffer's Stovetop Stuffing?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to guess it wasn't Stouffer's. Wasn't it Stouffer's Lean Cuisine? I lived on that shit for like 4 years of my fat
Stouffer's Lean. What the fuck? Do you remember Jiffy Peanut Butter?
Yes.
There is a Jiffy Peanut Butter, no?
Yes.
There's no way there's no Jiffy Peanut Butter. If there's no Jiffy Peanut Butter, then you and I are not
sitting.
Isn't
it just
here.
Jif?
Yeah. That's I can't with that one. That's not. There is a Jiffy Peanut Butter.
There's not.
Does the sun on the box of raisin?
No, there's a Jif Peanut Butter and there's Skippy Peanut
there
Butter.
There you
and
go.
So people
That's
combine
it.
The two to Jiffy.
That's right. That's right. You just nailed
See,
it.
Some of these are just easily explained. Like it doesn't.
That's true.
And wear shades. A gun to my head, I would say yes.
What was that?
I would
the
say yes too.
The sun made the raisinettes.
Raisin. Yeah.
Maybe this is all bullshit.
Yeah, I'm going to call it bullshit. Are you still there? Yeah, there you are.
Just reading all this other stuff.
Hold on.
This is kind of fun, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. People swear there was a Jiffy peanut butter back in the day, but we speculate they're combining Jif. With its competitor, Skippy.
Yep. Nailed
it. Jif.
Bingo.
Not Jiffy.
That's right.
There's Jiffy Lube.
There's Jiffy Lube.
If somebody tells me there's no Jiffy Lube, then you and I are not sitting there.
Wow.
This is like...
A lot of people think the name of this podcast is Daddy Issues, but it's Dad Issues. It's always been Dad Issues.
That's it. That's the social
Hashtag
media post ball. Right there.
And I don't like hashtags. Is there a cornucopia behind the fruit
there we
in
go.
The Fruit of the Loom logo? I don't know what a cornucopia is.
Cornucopia is just like a bunching of fruit with grapes and apples. And yes, I would say yes, there is a cornucopia.
I would say you're probably wrong.
Behind the fruit.
I don't think people understand what cornucopia even is.
It's just.
But
I don't
they
know.
Do
I don't
from.
They're talking about the horn, though. They're talking about that horn-shaped thing behind the fruit. That's
totally,
what I
but
was
that's from
at.
Hunger Games.
It's from Hunger Games?
Yes.
What are you talking about? It's been around before Hunger Games.
Well, yes. Of course, it has been around before.
Wait, are you trying to tell me that Hunger Games?
Hunger
talking
Games.
About the movies, the Hunger Games books and movies came before the underwear came out.
Okay, but in Hunger Games, you know, she has to like run, like they're all spread out around the circle, and there's all these things in the middle, and like she can go get the cornucopia in the
right.
middle. Like that's
right.
a thing. And so I think that like younger people, like 10-year-olds who watched Hunger Games, maybe didn't know what a cornucopia was before they saw that. And then they were like,
got
oh, got it. I know what it is.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Everything.
No. And we all know it from underwear.
Totally.
Yeah.
No.
Apparently not.
But I like that. I like the Mandela effect. That's what it's called, the Mandela effect.
How about this? Josh Windisch checks in with, apparently Freddie Mercury never sings "Of the World."
Okay, but
at the end of
"I'm Glad
We Are the
This
Champions."
Came up because he actually did in the Live Aid version of the song. So
is that when he's wearing a white tank top?
I think so. Yeah.
I
so
love
he actually,
that version.
So he actually does sing it, and it is in, I think, a very popular version of the song that gets listened to now. But I think in the original, maybe he didn't. But anyway, it is a little bit, that one's a little murky. I threw that in there before I really fully saw what it, you know, what
That's
that was
fair.
About.
I was just listening to that today.
Although he did sing it at Live Aid.
Oh, there.
Apparently.
Yeah, okay.
Oh.
I did add that. I forgot
says
I added
there that. Is no cornucopia. Stovetop stuffing exists, though. It's just not made by Stouffer's. It's a company that specializes in frozen foods that you microwave or cook in the oven.
Right.
Right.
Hashtag mind not blown.
Mind not blown hashtag.
You know what's, you know where you don't need an oven is for your ice cream, your mint chip or whatever you just got.
Yeah, dude, I need like some.
You need a straw.
All right.
Well, this has been fun.
It was fun. It was a blast. Actually.
Okay. Do you remember Carol Burnett tugging on her ear at the end of the Carol Burnett show?
Yes.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
See, like, I don't get this reference. Do you?
No, I don't either.
Wait. Hold on. We can cut this in.
Like, this is literally him incriminating himself. Let it play. Let it play. This is Exhibit A. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, that man sitting there in the chair, which is where he's been for his entire tour, the farewell tour. His name is Phil Collins. He was a drummer in Genesis. He became a lead man in the Phil Collins Experience. That man watched a person drown. And that man did nothing. He sat there and all he did.
Yeah, Oliver's playing him on his phone.
Was write these words. Put it to a melody while somebody was fighting for their life. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury. Ignorance is no form of innocence here. He saw it. He looked the other way. And he put a drum rip in there that every athlete and fan has ever done in a stadium when this song is played. But he deserves incarceration.
Yeah.
Right here. Here it is right here. This is where he's telling the guy. He wouldn't lend a hand.
Yeah, you made this sound better because you put the actual song in the episode.
Did I? I feel like
you did. So it sounds like way better than this, where you can like barely hear it. I swear to God, there was a juggernaut with Josh in this episode.
No, I don't think there is. Let me.
Yeah, fast forward a little bit. Let's see.
So instead of helping that man, I made this song.
I do love the idea of Phil Collins just watching someone drown and just being and in his head it's like ba 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 ba.
The guy's fingerprint.
Yep.
I'm skipping ahead, but I
yeah,
don't
skip
think
ahead.
Well, you know what we should do?
Wait.
God, what is it? 8:57 your time? You got a nighttime of Netflix watching and
it was 9 o'clock in LA when we filmed this. It was midnight in Atlanta.
Oh. Wow.
It was so late night.
I get scared in those parts.
Yeah, that's
because I was there.
That's the episode. There's no juggernaut with Josh.
Can I ask you some questions then before we close this out? Because I know we've been going for 1,000 hours and people have now tuned off. But like,
well, it won't have been 1,000 hours by the time because I think there's a lot of fluff
edits
in here we can get rid of.
Okay. So I have to ask, because I'm so curious. Because I listened to a lot of episodes recently that had a lot of Juggernaut with Josh in them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, question one. Does Vanessa listen to this?
No.
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 Okay, question two. Do you share with her what, like, Juggernaut with Josh is and what you guys talk about and stuff on the podcast?
Yeah, so we have talked about it.
Okay. And does she feel like that's funny and okay?
Yeah.
She seems very easygoing, actually. I really like
her. No, she is. She definitely is. Yeah, I mean, we had actually still talked about, like, we were trying to figure out a time we can get her on, like, with me. But, like, the timing never worked out. It came close a couple times to working out, but it just hasn't worked out because she's always at work when we're doing this or
I think we something. Should have her as one of the first coming back from summer break guests.
Okay. Yeah, we could try to work that out.
I think that would be really fun.
Mm-hmm.
She's personable and, like, funny. Like, she would be a good guest.
Yeah, but I feel like she gets shy about this kind of stuff, maybe.
Well, maybe we can, like, ask Joe and Oliver to not, like, bring up so much of the sex stuff and just...
No, I think that's part of the... That has to be part of it. Like, it has to be... Yeah. We need her perspective.
That's true. We totally do, because I just listened to an episode where Joe said... Where Oliver said, it must have been the last... It must have been 1-900-DADDY-ISSUES. And Oliver said, Josh, when's the last time you made love? And you were like... it's been a minute and this and that. And Joe goes, well, you know what I think would help? If you put, you have like a little Bluetooth by your bed. Can you play the Jeopardy theme song when you're having sex and put that right by your head and play that? And you were like, right. Yeah, great. Vanessa's going to love that. It's perfect.
Yeah.
It was really, I mean, that's true. It was really, you're very open. I will credit you with that.
It's funny. I don't plan to be or necessarily want to be, but I have no filter and I just can't. I have to fill the space with words. They have to be, there's got to be some words of some kind. And when they're asking me a question and I'm thinking about it, it just comes out.
I like it. I think it
And it's
adds.
Not necessarily like, I think most people would stop and be like, oh, I don't want to talk about this like in front of people and stuff. But for me, it's like, oh, I blah, 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 blah. Like I need to say stuff.
Okay, but also the funny part is that also you have the ability to edit that out.
Yeah, but you also don't understand. Like by the time we're done recording and it gets to the editing stage, I'm just like
done.
I just want it to be like.
That there's something very. So I know that there are much more successful podcasts than this, but I think that something very special about this one is we really, you're right, not a lot is edited out. It is.
I'm like the only podcast editor
honest.
That really doesn't like to cut things.
I think that that's important for people to know because they don't know that. Occasionally I know Joe has texted you or group texted and been like, cut this, or maybe we should like reduce this conversation.
Right.
But for the most part, every episode I feel like pretty much airs as is.
Yeah.
It's super honest and like very authentic. Okay, so let's you take it.
All right, so I guess we did the world's first ever podcast re-listen. I know you said other podcasts have done it, but I call bullshit on it.
Okay, well, it's the first ever Daddy Issues
it's
re-listen.
It's the first ever Dad Issues re-listen.
There you go. That's right.
Dad Issues.
That's right. Dad Issues. Okay.
Dad Issues hashtag.
Yes, exactly. Nobody's going to get that but us. But I had a wonderful time, Josh. Thank you for doing this. I know you didn't want to, so thank you.
No, I really didn't. But it was more fun than I anticipated, I think. And I didn't think I'd have any commentary, but I guess I do.
You had quite a bit of very interesting and engaging commentary.
Well, what I was thinking is the commentary that I was thinking you were looking for was like behind the scenes stuff. Like, what were you doing when they talked about that? I was like, sitting here watching it. I don't know. What do you want from me?
No, I didn't want that kind of, I want a commentary like about you and just about like, you know, exactly and what now we did.
In this part of the episode, I turned down the fader a couple decibels on Joe's mic. People don't know that. They think I just leave it at the same level the whole time. But
you know what? There are like three people out there who might find that interesting, actually.
Yeah, right.
But I think that I'm going to go ahead and say, and then I'm going to not check any kind of reviews or feedback after this.
Good
is
call.
Is posted tomorrow. But I'm going to say we did a decent job for having never hosted a podcast, never having done this. And I was a little bit nervous. I think that, like, you know, it's something different than just putting the solid episode out. So,
right. That's true.
Here we go. Take it or leave it. And final thought. If you hated it, let us know. It will hurt, but let us know.
Yeah.
And if you loved it, let us know, because we might not be able to do it every week until the guys come back, but we could do it maybe once or twice more.
Yeah. Yeah, right? I think so. Yeah, we could do it again. Unless people absolutely hate it, and then we won't waste our time.
That's true. It wasn't a waste of time, Josh. I had a very enjoyable time with you.
No, I didn't mean that. I mean, you know, like, we won't attempt to do it if it's not anything anybody
pleasant
wants.
For people. That's true. I have a quite annoying voice, so people might have tuned off like 45 minutes ago. But
no, you just have to use that 900 daddy issues voice the whole time.
That's true.
Oh, and real quick, I feel like I should say, because I'm not sure if we mentioned it on this episode. We've said it on other episodes, but Joe and Oliver are planning on coming back to do new, fresh, original episodes at the end of the summer. They're kind of just taking a summer break for family. Oliver's work schedule's crazy, so make sure to stay tuned for that. But until then,
we're signing off. We're leaving.
Yep.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Listen to Daddy Issues on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Daddy Issues is a production of Cavalry Audio and iHeartMedia, produced by Margot Carmichael.
Sound engineering and editing by Josh Windisch.
Executive produced by Joe Buck, Oliver Hudson, Dana Brunetti, and Keegan Rosenberger.